I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. We thank God for his word. We thank God for a man named Cornelius, whom God noticed. So God had a plan for all the Gentiles, which is all of us. God had a plan. The Holy Spirit had come in Jerusalem, and Peter had preached, and 3,000 became believers immediately, and they went and they baptized 3,000 that day. And if you read Acts 1, verse 8, that Jesus has said to them, You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So as we've been going through Acts, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Jerusalem, and then they went out to the surrounding towns and cities in Judea, and then they went to Samaria, if you read Acts chapter 8, which we did a few weeks ago about Philip going, that was speaking to the Samaritans, and they were people that were of Jewish descent, but had interbred with the nations around them, so the Jews didn't actually like them very much. And that's why people were surprised when Jesus went to speak with a woman by the well in Samaria. Because Jews and Samaritans didn't really speak together. And they didn't interact and they weren't allowed into each other's homes. And because the Jews, everything had to be kosher. The things that they touched, the things that they ate, everything had to be just right. And the Jews still do that today. If you go to Newton Rig in the summer, for a few weeks in the summer, there's a whole load of Jews that come from Newcastle and Manchester and other cities, and they come and they stay in Newton Rig, and they actually black out the windows so Gentiles like us can't see in. And they actually clean everything to kosher standards. There's a team that come, and they clean everything. And they go down to they hire the swimming pool out, and all the women go in first with women lifeguards. I think Daniela's done that before. And they black out the windows in the swimming pool, so unclean people like us can't go in or can't see what they're doing. And I actually tried to go and talk to them, and they were very edgy. Now, whether that was just me or whether that was because I'm a Gentile, but they were quite edgy to talk to until I said, I've got a daughter named Miriam, and that's a Jewish name. They're like, oh, right, okay. And there was a little bit of a spark there, and then they kind of closed back down. So they're very careful of who they talk to. And it's very restricted what they eat. In fact, there was lots of different things that they couldn't eat. From the Old Testament law, there was lots of things that they couldn't eat. Anything that crawls on its belly, so they can't eat snakes. My son, Joe, will be very pleased about that because he likes his snakes. They couldn't eat pigs. They couldn't eat shellfish. They couldn't eat fish without scales. The fish had to have scales on them. And you know that illustration when Jesus talks about the dragnet being brought in and some was kept and the other was thrown out? Well, the catfish that you catch out there don't have scales, so they were thrown out. So Jesus was given an illustration that the Jews would have been very familiar with, that they were only allowed to eat certain types of fish. And like I said, it's still the same today. And I've heard of Jews that are so careful and meticulous about what they do. They don't want to work on the Sabbath day. So the day before the Sabbath, on the Friday, they tear off bits of their toilet roll and they put it next to the toilet in case that would constitute work on the Sabbath day, that ripping off of the toilet roll. Anybody thought about doing that? Ridiculous, isn't it? So there are levels the Jews today are still following the law, and Peter would have followed in exactly the same way. So whenever he was around Gentiles, he would have been very cautious and careful about what he was doing, what he was touching. And so he has this vision. He has a vision from God and he's to meet with this guy called Cornelius, who was a centurion. So this guy, Cornelius, this is a man who's of reasonably high standing. So he's got charge over 100 men, and he's a leader of them. He can command them to do pretty much whatever he wants, and they will do. They will go into battle before him. So I believe within Roman times, there was you had a legion, which is about 6,000, and then there was people who were in charge over 1,000, and there were centurions who would looked after 100 men, and he was looking after this. So he's a man of responsibility. It says in here that he has a high standing within the community, and he's given out money to the poor. So, and God noticed his heart. So this is a guy who's not a Christian, he's not a believer at this point, and God noticed what he did. It says, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. That's quite something, isn't it? This is somebody who's not yet a believer, but God sees the future within him. And it says, your alms have come up as a memorial before God. God notices our hearts and what we do even before we come to Christ. God notices how we serve those who are in Christ. Like the parable of the talents, he said to the first two, well done, good and faithful servant. So God notices everything we do, and he also notices our heart's motive. And God's plan was to show Peter very clearly that the Gentiles were no longer unclean. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that had cleansed us, and God's intention, right from the Old Testament, where he had loads and loads of prophecies about the Gentiles being grafted in and being part of God's kingdom, then Cornelius was to be part of this. And God had a plan to show Peter that Cornelius and all the Gentiles were clean. So Peter's vision was that he was up, he was hungry, and he fell into a trance. Do any men get like that when they're hungry? When I get hungry, I quite often go all glazy-eyed, thinking my stomach starts rumbling. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, God used that situation of Peter, and God sent Peter a vision of this sheet, of all these animals, all these unclean animals as well as the clean ones, and they all came down. They were being lowered down from heaven. And he said to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter's like, this is a phrase that is just like Peter, without thinking. Not so, Lord. How can those two things that cannot go together? It's like saying, no, Lord. He can't be Lord if you're saying no to him. But Peter, Peter, even though on the day of Pentecost God had used him mightily, he's still got a bit of the old Peter left in him. I said, not so, Lord. Have you ever read something in the Bible and thought, oh, not so, Lord? Well, Peter does the same thing. He says, not so, Lord, because in his mind, all his teaching since he's this high is not to touch this, not to eat that type of food. And this vision that it's like bamboozling his brain. He says, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him a second time. Does God's voice have to speak to you sometimes a second time? Just Sandra. Everybody else is holy around here, sir. I'm glad you came, Sandra. Everybody else is so holy that we listen to God first time. Sometimes God has to impress a thing on our heart a few times until we get it. And God wanted to show Peter about the freedom he had to eat anything that he wanted. He said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or clean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must now not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. So just like Peter, Jesus has spoken to Peter about feeding his sheep and his lambs three times. Again, God has to speak to him three times over just to show him that all these things were clean. And about the freedom that was brought, that we could eat whatever we want. Now, in the Old Testament, if you were out in the wilderness, like I said, you wouldn't be able to eat snakes or pigs. Or like John the Baptist, he went out and had honey, and he had locust sandwiches. You weren't allowed to eat insects apart from if they hopped. So I know if I get peckish at home, Joel's got a few crickets around. I could maybe pop one of them in my mouth. In Thailand, they seem to batter them. Anybody tried those? No? Alex smiling, would you fancy some of those? Not in your diet. Yeah, but Peter's allowed to eat anything. And before, like Peter wasn't allowed to go and visit any Gentile in their home, they were now allowed to go he was allowed to go into the home of Cornelius. And there's a vision, and the angel instructs him that Cornelius's men are at the door, and he goes with them into the Gentile home. Now, I thought about this when I was at Newton Rig. I was going to try and take a sneak peek in where the Jews were, and there was loads of them round the door, and I thought about taking a peek in, and it would have been really edgy for them if I'd gone in and made everything unclean, and they would have had to clean it all again, and I would have found that funny anyway, But Peter's kind of in the same way. When he's going to this house of Cornelius, he's probably thinking, you know, all these years I've never been in, and it must have been quite a big thing for him. But he'd got past his not so, Lord, and he decided that he was going into the house of Cornelius. And this is what I think sometimes. So I know I've mentioned this before, but God sends an angel to talk to Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. And I think, why didn't he just send the angel straight to the house of Cornelius? Like, cut out the middleman. He would have got past all that nonsense with Peter asking him three times and him saying, not so, Lord, and all the visions. And he could have just sent the angel straight there. But I believe that it is our responsibility to share the gospel. It's our responsibility to go and share with others across the earth. Jim Elliot was sent by God to the rainforest in Ecuador to share the gospel with these Indians that were eventually going to kill him. If God's in charge of all the angels, why it would be much simpler. Jim Elliot, if you read the book, he flew above in his airplane and he sent down gifts. And God could have just sent an angel in there straight away, because angels can appear here, there, and everywhere. And it would have been simpler. But God has given us the charge of the gospel. He said to his disciples to go out and preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's given, that's the task to us today. And there's people in our society that don't hear the gospel unless you tell them. We meet with about 100 lads every Friday night and we tell them, but we don't get to meet their families. And the thing is, you work with them, you spend time with them, you have the gospel within you, if you've heard it, to preach to everybody. And people do want to hear. When you get them by themselves, they want to hear about God. Everybody has a yearning within them. Like I shared a few weeks ago, like me hitching from Southampton up to here, three different people picked me up, and all of them wanted to know about God. I told them I was a pastor, and they all were searching. And they asked, why does God allow suffering? Why so many religions? Why? Because they want to know what's going to happen to them at the end of the life. And I had the ability, I had the chance to share the gospel with them. What they do with it is up to them. And we did it. I did it in a very gentle way. I explained judgment. I explained the cross of Jesus Christ. And I explained about heaven and hell in a very gentle manner. And they all took it in and they considered it. None of them said, that's not true. Not one of them. People want to hear the gospel. And it's through our lips and our voices and the heart of God through us that will share the gospel. And that's why if you're shy about it, then invite somebody to when Maldwyn comes. And I was just thinking before, we have a number of lads who referee for us on a Friday night. And you know, I've encouraged everybody to invite a friend, if you have a friend. If you don't have a friend, we've got all these referees. And if somebody would like to pray for each one of those, we can reward them for what they're doing on a Friday night and have a sit-down meal. And we can actually invite them and then they can hear the gospel through Maldwyn in a kind of not a very confrontational way. But it's through our voices. If we don't, then who will? It's up to us to share. Now, Peter, he went to the house of Cornelius. And as he gets to the door, Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. So Cornelius, a Roman centurion, in Rome they had loads and loads of different gods. And they would have bowed down before many gods. But Peter says, stand up, I am also a man. I myself am also a man. And he said he talked with him. And he went in and found many who had come together. So lots of people had come round to hear Peter preach. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. It's in 1 Timothy that says God wants all men to be saved. There was one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And that God wants all men to be saved. God shows no partiality to any type of nationality, male or female, young or old, disabled or not, blonde-haired, brown-haired, good-looking, ugly, anywhere in between. I'm trying not to make eye contact with anybody when I say that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Stick thin, stocky, muscular, whatever. God shows no partiality. It says in the Bible that God wants all men to be saved. Every single man and woman and child, God wants to be saved. God shows no partiality. Whether Jew or Greek, God wants the Muslims to come to Christ. He wants the Buddhists to come to Christ. He wants the Hindus to come to Christ. There is no partiality. There is one way into heaven through Jesus Christ. And Peter had gone to preach it to everybody. And I'm thankful that there's missionaries all across the world preaching to Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and Rastafarians and Sikhs, and that there's no partiality. God's love is extended to everybody. And those who believe in Christ, who repent and believe in Christ, will come to him. And Peter said, God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So this message Peter was given, and he got onto the gospel and talked about Jesus, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And listen to this. And as he commanded us to preach to people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ will receive the remission of sins, will be saved, will be set free, will be made whole, will be without guilt, without stain, will receive the remission of sins. And we'll find eternal life. Is that good? Tell your faces. It is good. That Jesus will be the judge of the living and the dead. Everybody will have to come before judgment. Everybody will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he will judge the living and the dead. And whether if we're in Christ, we receive the justice paid for by Jesus on the tree. And if we're without Christ, we receive the wrath of God, an eternal punishment in hell. If you read the Bible, it clearly says that over and over and over again. So if you're not in Christ, God's message is come to Christ, be saved, be set free, receive the remission of sins, that all your sins are paid for and you get a fresh start with Jesus. So as Peter was preaching, he says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the Holy Spirit came on these Gentiles. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on particular people or particular armies or kings at certain times to do his bidding. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, as was prophesied, it said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, and everybody in Jerusalem that heard the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with new tongues. So this had now happened within the Gentiles, that they began to speak with new tongues, that God had empowered them, and they spoke with other tongues. And I've used the illustration before that God, when we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, can give us a new language to communicate with him. And there was one time that I was driving on my bus to a football ground, and the sat nav that Ian had given me had broken down. And I thought, oh no, the football team have to get there on time. If I make any move or wrong turn, I soon hear about it from the back. They'll all shout down, where are you going? We're going to be here in time. And I get some earache, and I thought, oh no. And I realized on my phone there's Google Maps. And I plugged it into my phone just to try it out. And I plugged it in. It was Bootham Crescent in York. And I plugged it in. And yeah, the maps came up and it gave me direction. So I had a sat-nav on my phone all along. And I believe that as a Christian, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there's things downloaded into our spirit that we can use for our own benefit and to glorify God. Like, there's lots of things downloaded on my phone. I don't even know what they are. And I think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are downloaded into us, and we can use them as and when, and we just got to exercise them. And I seen a vision once a long time ago about all the gifts of the Spirit being laid out in the church, and we only use them occasionally. And I believe that God wants us to exercise those spiritual gifts more. In fact, it says in the Bible, I'm to eagerly desire what? Prophecy? The spiritual gifts. To eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And I don't think as a church we use them as much as God wants us to, or God enables us to. But we have the freedom within the church to do that. But coming back to Peter, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they began to speak with tongues and to magnify God. And that is one of the things that I found when I began to speak in tongues in my bedroom, that out of me was coming songs of praise towards God. My prayer life opened up, and it just enabled me to magnify God in a language that I didn't understand. And you know, Paul said he prayed in the Spirit. Often he prayed with words that he understood, and he prayed with words that he didn't. And I believe that God has given us to magnify God. They spoke with the new tongues, and they magnified God. And we were speaking at a little house group we were the other night about idolatry. And a little bit that often within this world we want to magnify ourselves, we want to build each other up. I was talking about the rappers. You know, it's all about me. You know, yo, yo. Talk about, oh, me, me, me. And, you know, lifting myself up. Look at me. Look at how big and cool I am. You know, got my hat on backwards and my gold chain and all this. You know, look about me. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we magnify God. We lift His name up. And you get that when you're in prayer, you come into the presence of God and you magnify Him. And it's like there's no better place in the whole earth. Whether it be Clifton or Cliburn or Regal or Newby or Northern Ireland, if we're in the Spirit, we're in the kingdom of God and we magnify Him. And of course, we come together at church on Sundays and we sing. And we have the freedom in the church to sing, to raise our arms. If anybody wants to dance down the aisle, they have the freedom to do so. If anybody wants to clap, they have the freedom to do so. If anybody wants to sit and be folded armed and grumpy, you have the freedom to do so, but that's not what God intended you to do. God, if you look at the Bible, people who praised raised their arms, they danced, they spoke out. And I don't want us to be shy if God prompts you to do that, if you've been moved by the Spirit to magnify God, whether in a tongue that you understand or a tongue that you don't, that we are to raise God up. When the Holy Spirit comes within you, you cannot help but to praise God. The Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles for the first time. Then Peter answered, "Can anybody forbid water for these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and Peter commanded them to be baptized. Now, I know in our society, we don't like being told what to do, because I have my rights, I can do what I want, I can say what I want, you know, but here Peter commands them, be baptized. And I believe that is right as a believer, if we trust in the Lord Jesus, is to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, like we're doing with some people next week in the chilly old lake, and they would be declaring their faith before God and before people, and being baptized. So Peter commanded them to be baptized. And they were baptized. But the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they'd been brought to life. They'd been born again. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot know God. Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if there's anybody tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know if you've got the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, you need to be born again. You need to respond to Jesus' calling and His Spirit working within you to respond to Him and be born again. And as you receive, as you wholeheartedly say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all that I've done. As it says here, you receive the remission of sins and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and He will give you life. You'll be able to commune with God in His throne room. even whilst we're here on earth, through the Spirit. And God will bring you to life. You will see visions, the Bible says. You will dream dreams. You will have words of knowledge. You will have all these spiritual gifts downloaded in your system to use. And that's up to you when you use them. But God has called us for a life of with Him, to glorify Him and to bless others. This is the story of Cornelius. Peter, a man who would have never gone into a Gentile's house, heard the call of God through an angel and went and saw a whole household. And this Cornelius, who was in charge of 100 men, everybody would have heard of it. And he would have gone out and preached. And the Gentiles were then blessed from this story. Because Peter in the next chapter has to go back and explain to all the other apostles what had happened. And then the apostle Paul goes out and preaches to all the Gentiles, which you'll find out in weeks ahead. And this is why we are here tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ, because somebody told us. And the people that told you, somebody told them. And somebody told them beforehand, and somebody told them beforehand. And then it goes all the way back, probably to the apostle Paul, and maybe to the household of Cornelius. And we all have a faith because somebody told us, somebody has spread the gospel. And the church has been built through faithful servants. And there's a, you know, it says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As we look on the news today and see what's happening with ISIS and all the Christians being killed, and you might feel fear, but Jesus has said He will build His church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because it is a spiritual church made up of people who are born again in Jesus Christ. And He is lifting His church up to be glorious, to be a pure and a spotless bride. And maybe this persecution will purify the church so that we'll be ready to meet Him in the air and that we can spend eternity in heaven. And I say once again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not born again, you will not be part of this kingdom, but it will be eternal damnation and the wrath of God. But God has given you every opportunity tonight. He's given you a witness and a call in your heart to come unto Him, to receive the remission of sins, to receive the Holy Spirit and be part of this kingdom, because it is God's family and God wants you to enter in. Like with Jim Elliot. When he went out to those Indians and he speared, how many were speared that day? I can't remember from the book. Five of them speared. And then some of the wives, what was Jim's wife called again? Elizabeth. Elizabeth, they went back and they preached to those Indians in Ecuador. What bravery to go in, to go into Ecuador to Indians who have speared their husbands and go and bring the gospel. What forgiveness, what grace, and the Indians are now in Christ because of that. Will we be brave enough to do that? Are we brave enough to go out and bring the gospel to other people because of this hope that we have? Because we want to share this being part of God's kingdom, which is so rich, which is so full of blessings, do we want to share that? I know I do. And I pray that God gives me boldness to speak. I pray that God gives you boldness to speak. But let's pray together to finish. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You are the judge of the living and the dead. I thank You that You have given us salvation through Your blood upon that cross. I thank You, Lord, that You have given us new life. And I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will work within us. Lord, that You will raise us up to where we should be. Lord, that we will be not shy, not full of fear, but be full of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that we will do Your work. And Lord, we will bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is anybody that does not know if they're born again, if they're a Christian, then please respond tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave it till another time. Put it right with God tonight. Receive His salvation. Come out in faith. Speak to me afterwards. And receive His salvation, which comes from Him. It's the message you've heard tonight. It's the message that Peter preached. It's the message that all the missionaries have preached over the ages. Come to Jesus tonight. And there will be a party in heaven if you do. It says the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. That's what it says. There'll be a party in heaven. So please respond to Jesus tonight. And also, if there's anybody that needs prayer in any way at all, if you want somebody to pray for you, come to the front during the last song. And all we do is pray together. Simply pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that He will work in your situation. As the Bible says, if there's any that are sick among you, call for the elders of the church. And the prayer of faith will make you well.